Blog Talk Radio.
Church Volume 2, exclusive 213. Got my nephew Nate Dogg in the house. Nate Dogg, holla at him, where you at?
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio. I'm listening to a Slash Girl thing. Sang about how she got her heart broke. People reaching for stars. I just want me something natural. When you're alone, it gets mighty slow. Don't act as if you did not know. She let me play with her heart. I'm working late, I said I'll soon be home. All the while the girl was on her phone. Let me tell you what she's crying for.
Why?
Cause I'm fly.
Hey, super fly.
Nate, go.
Oh, oh, I'm fly.
Super fly, but me I'm super duper and I'm super duper fly. I be the greatest, I know you waited this and I wanted this to be a labyrinth and so strenuous. Then you just fly by and whiz a, you want another pizza. Is that the way that you gon' for his a? I know you're feeling all hurt inside, but won't you talk to a player? Let me help out your pride. I'm like a counselor, a pastor, a priest or a psychologist, a shrink on a freak piece. My technique, I wear mink skater boots and I'm the rip that gets the loot. And I ain't afraid to shoot, and I love to choo-choo. Beep, beep as I slide up the street. I'm from the LBC, and I don't know what y'all done heard about me, but I'm a CRIP with some people.
Elaine Lister took $60,000. For that, she faces prison. There are bankers, investors, who essentially stole billions, brought this country to near economic collapse. You know how many have gone to jail? Zero. None. All those perpetrators of the mortgage fraud that crippled our economy, caused financial ruin for so many, not one has even been prosecuted. But hey, let's get Elaine Lister. Consider the atrocities committed by the banking industry and the government. First, the deregulation of derivatives, which paved the way for those credit default swaps, leading to the great mortgage Ponzi scheme. Then, after those Wall Street thieves f***ed us all up the ass, can I say that? Those criminally incompetent hacks in Washington spent over $1 trillion in taxpayer money to bail them out, with no quid pro quo. No system put in place to track how the banks were to use that money. There were no requirements that they increase lending to consumers. Instead, they just stuck it in their own pockets, took more big bonuses, and as for the rest of us, right up the ass again. Throw them all in jail. How about the 10 worst offenders? How about one? No, not one. Not one. But hey, let's get Elaine Lister. Goldman Sachs deliberately duped clients, sold them lousy deals that their firm then profited from by betting against. That's criminal fraud. Jail? For anybody? Nope. But let's get Elaine Lister. Miss Mendelson says, watch out. We've got social unrest. Is it any wonder? These lugnuts in Washington nearly shut down the government because they can't pass a budget? Millions of Americans are going belly up? And what the hell do they expect? When a government acts to betray the interest of its constituents, civil disobedience isn't just a right, but a duty. Elaine Lister was making a point that day. She didn't wear a mask. She knew she'd get caught. She was in that bank to make a point. She's not a criminal. She is a hero. The outrageous government conduct defense is pretty simple. It applies when the government conduct is so outrageous that it violates fundamental principles of fairness to prosecute a defendant. If not now, when? Government. Hero.
Brother Sharif. Brother Sharif. Brother Sharif and Thor Ministry Thor. Radio. Radio. Brother Sharif and Thor Ministry Thor. Radio. Radio. Radio.
Dig, dig, dig this.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here we go again. How low can you go?
How y'all feel out there?
I know you're gonna dig this.
Okay, party people in the house. Yeah, boy.
Are you ready for more with Thor Radio? Are you being harassed by debt collectors? Are you facing foreclosure?
Okay.
We'll bring the hammer down on your debt by using Thor strategies and tactics.
Okay.
Brother Sharif and Thor will educate you on the consumer protection laws, which will allow you to hammer away your debt. Get ready, reset, and restore with Thor Radio. Thor Ministry Radio. Now, here is our own Brother Sharif.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Greetings. Welcome to Thor Radio Network. a.k.a. Thor Ministry, a.k.a. Truth Radio, a.k.a. Hammer Your Deck Collectors. This is your host and founder, Brother Sharif. Today is July the 8th, 2014. We are live. And as long as Thor has been in existence, we have always been live. First and foremost, I want to say to all that the Creator is all-knowing, powerful, and everywhere present, and I give all praises and honors to the Most High for allowing me to be everything I want to be. Because without him, I'm absolutely nothing. With him, I can be just about anything I choose. I believe that choice is upon each and every last one of you. It is my belief that the Creator and the Most High resides within us and works through us. So we first look within self, because he has enabled us to do all things. Now that I have plugged into the true source of my power, I want to say thank all of you that are here that supports Thor Radio Network, that support Thor Ministry, the movement of educating the consumer, of taking into your hands your educational needs, which also, by the way, benefits the community and the country at large, because without knowledge of the consumer protection laws, you are not able to be a good consumer. Sort of like for those that rely on the Bible, without knowing the Bible, I don't think one can be a good believer of any religion they rely upon. So we're here to share our experiences, our opinions, our beliefs. We will oftentimes speak about legal information and matters, but we do not give legal advice, and we are not attorneys. And should you need an attorney, I advise everyone to look up the definition of every word that you may take for granted and make sure that you seek legal advice, appropriate party, person, or individual that you deem appropriate for your matter. But if you need legal advice, please seek competent counsel. But we want to make clear that you won't receive that type here. Today is Free Your Mind Friday. Free Your Mind Friday is a show developed by Thor and yours truly. And it allows our supporters, our members, our listeners and visitors an opportunity to engage with myself and the panel, who are all here, on various topics that may be related to, but not limited to, debt collection, economics, civics, and things of that nature. So we are able to, on Friday, veer off the subject matter of debt and get into other topics that may affect that or affect your economic stability or instability. So that's what Fridays were designed for. We do them at will. We don't necessarily do them every Friday. But the creator moved me to do today's show. Because we know during the week, if you're fighting or defending yourself from debt collectors, you may have some things on your mind that needs freeing. Some of us, we need freeing of a different sort. And if you need that type of freeing, guess what? Thor Ministry has a minister on staff. Minister Rudy is here and is always here. To be honest with you, she does quite an exceptional job dealing with some of the mindsets and spiritual mental needs of many people. She definitely has a gift, as I wouldn't be able to do it. And I wouldn't try. I'm far too cut and dry. So if you would imagine a man out on the desert, I would be the one that wouldn't have any lotion. I would be dry, ashy. Just straight, cut and dry. So before I bring my panel in, I want to let you know that Free Your Mind Friday, we go to the caller lines early, 657-383-0332. 657-383-0332. For those of you appearing with us for the first time, you just press 1, and your call will be placed in queue, and we will be able to answer your questions. I want to get a shout-out to one of our members or listeners, Lakash, who told me that sometimes she usually doesn't subscribe to preaching, but she feels she enjoys some of it, since that's also a fill of what, Thor. I don't know how to take that. I don't think I'd be preaching. But I do try to bring, and I can't help but to bring in a passionate way, things that I know affect people. Because as you know, Thor is a hub for communications of many issues relating to debt, economics, and even other things that affect people that may cause them not to be able to perform as a consumer in debt and economics. So if that's what you feel you get here at Thor is preaching, if y'all keep saying that, I'm going to let the minister on staff, Rudy, really go in. Give y'all some sermons. But on that point, Thor is not a religious group or religious society. We may practice our religious beliefs outside of this show, or we may not. But we are indeed not a religious show, so if that's what you're looking for, that's not what you're going to get here. We are also not anti-anything. We are not anti-government. We are not anti-law. We are not anti-religious. We are not anti-anything. I believe all of us here has a very strong foundational belief in the Creator and the Most High. And anything below that is subject to your individual beliefs. So we won't talk religion here. We won't talk about how bad things are. We will educate you and share our information on what we think things are, but you won't get any, the world is going to fall tomorrow, or they're killing us, or we're dying, or any doom and gloom such as that. I don't believe in that. I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. That's just not my belief. So I don't participate in that type talk. Obviously, around here, we have a great respect for character, morality, and law. Else we would not be here speaking about consumer protection laws. So we are not what others deem maybe patriots or whatever that is. I don't know what that is. We don't hate government. We hate oppression. We don't hate people. We love all people that supports one another and comes together as common unity for the purpose of community efforts. Just want to get those things out the way, just in case we had some listeners for the first time, just in case you may have heard otherwise. We are a peaceful people on this station, and I'm proud to say that. At times we may be a little bit sarcastic, and some of you may take what we say in the wrong way. Please understand that everybody on this station is here not because you paid a fee at the door, or we're here to perform for you. We're here out of the goodness of our heart and passion to bring some information to the people, where we know there's a lot of deception and misinformation out here in this country. So we're just doing our job to the Creator, to the universe. Some of us have been mandated to do it, and even though we try not to do it, we have to. But we will say this, and be honest with you, this show is not really for sensitive people or extra sensitive people. I'm known to speak my mind, and I don't speak it abrasively. I think I'm pretty passionate. For those that know me or listen to me one or two times, I think you will be able to gauge that. But there are some that feel like I talk down or sideways or preach or any of those other affectionate types of communication that may come. But irrespective of that, I am who I am, and I'm very comfortable in that skin. I will continue to be who I am, and we hope you enjoy the edutainment and information that we freely give you here. And we hope you get something out of it. As the Yama said, we hope that if some things you don't necessarily need or you don't care for, that you would eat the meat and spit out the bones. But we definitely don't want you to leave here with any offense based on anything we may say. So let me open up my panel's line. I didn't think they were going to be here. I just decided to do the show last minute myself, so I'm grateful that they're here, as always. And since they are here, I guess they can participate, because they are Thor. Just to let y'all know, Thor is represents a group of collective minds. such as what you see here, it also includes you. You are a part of Thor. It is a movement to educate the people, the consumer. Thor and the hammer it wields is also an avatar of Brother Sharif, my alter ego. So when we refer to it, we're referring to all of the above. But we hoping that everybody understands that Thor is a movement. It's not an anti-movement. It is a pro-people movement. And our lane is dealing with economics and debt collection. And that is our lane. So let me make a last disclaimer for those that may be affiliated with certain that are allergic to certain language. I may from time to time, because I do know that there may be some children and parents here that allow them, and we appreciate it, to listen to this call. I may from time to time say a word that a lot of times is commonly used in the Bible. It may be ass, it may be damn, but I don't think I go too much further than that. And if I did, that minister on his panel, Mother Rudy, will either correct me during the show, she may wait after the show, or Layla or Lori may jump in and put me back in the cage. But I just wanted to let you know that you won't hear anything other than that. You won't hear any MFs and screaming and rants and cussing and swearing and things of that nature. I don't do that, so... just wanted to let you know if your kids are sensitive to that sort of language, or if you may be sensitive to a damn or an ass, then we wanted to let you know that may occur without warning. So, Layla, Lori, and Rudy, did y'all have anything to say? I just got a couple of topics I wanted to talk about. Freelance a little bit. Bounce around a little bit.
I'd like to be the first, if I may, and that is today is definitely Free Your Mind Friday. Hello and happy day to each and every one of you. We're so happy that you took some time out of your extremely busy schedule to spend a little time here with us at Thor today. I will be very brief today because less sometimes is more. I just want to share with you some thought-provoking words. The best thing about freedom, or the thought of freedom, is having the opportunity of choice. So I say to you, get educated, be informed, choose wisely. No matter where you are in life, making wise choices is the pathway to real freedom. Ready, reset, restore. Get educated, be informed, choose wisely. Happy day, happy Free Your Mind Friday.
Happy day. Love you, Mother. Thank you for that. Words of wisdom from the higher plane. Mother flying at 5,000 feet, just dropping bags of blessings and knowledge from the air to the people. Layla or Lori?
I'm good. I'm just hanging out in the sidecar like Robin with Batman. My little baby eating Cheetos and giving me a shout-out in the back. We're just here to hang out. Happy Friday.
Hanging out, huh? All right.
Hanging out. Yeah, I got a couple of funny, if you wind up having any time, I got a couple of funny stories regarding to consumerism that's hysterical. But anyway, carry on.
All right, great. Thank you. All right, Layla.
Good morning, Thor family. Good morning. This is an excellent day. This is Free Your Mind Friday. As it says, free your mind. This is a time to come here. Listen, you have an opportunity to ask questions. We're all a family, so be sure to have your questions ready so that you can get some relief from, and you won't have to worry about the turmoil that you're stirring in your head. You know, a good hearty laugh is worth, you know, 1,000 groans. So just make sure you come here, have an open mind, and laugh about it, because that will bring you through. How many times have you heard of people who have had illnesses and they sat down and watched comedies and just had good vibrations and they were able to be healed? That's what Thor is here to do. He's here to help you and guide you on your way so you can heal yourself. So with that, I just say welcome, welcome. Back to you, Brother Sharif.
Thank you, thank you. All right, a few topics I wanted to talk about. Some of it debt-related and some of it economically related. As y'all know, here at Thor, we consider ourselves an above-ground news source as opposed to underground. And we feel we bring some truth that our national media doesn't and won't bring, for obvious reasons. They're corporately owned. But I'm going to tell y'all something funny I listened to yesterday that just blew my mind. It didn't blow my mind, but it was so obvious. I guess once you really come into the light and truth, you see things differently, where the majority of people, they kind of look at you like, I'm like, did you hear that? I'm like, yeah, I heard that. That's crazy. So I'm listening to the news yesterday, and there was obviously some group of Russian hackers that allegedly broke into some various computers or companies' websites and obtained like 1.2 billion passwords, login information. And it was funny because I forget which national news media was speaking on the story, but it came on and it said, you know, they obtained 1.2 million passwords from different computers, and the news reporters and actors and actresses, as I call them, they were talking about it, and they said, yes, you know, these were Russian hackers out of some part of Russia, and I want y'all to listen to me at what they said. And he said, yeah, they obtained like 1.2 billion of, you know, passwords and login information and for internet users, and there was about five of them, and they were from this section of Russia, and they were young guys, and they were using the information to market you other products. And I said, huh? So I said, okay, let me just read back what I heard, and my panel can jump in. The news reporter said they knew who stole the information. They described where they were from. They described their age. And they were also able to describe what they were going to do with the stolen information. I said, did anybody just hear what they said? I'm like, that's the biggest pound of hogwash I've ever heard. How do you know what they're going to do with stolen information? And if you know all of that, why you haven't done anything about it? So, you that somebody that stole something, that they know exactly what they're going to do with the stolen property, as if they were the one that stole the property. Or maybe they knew who did. I mean, this media just really makes me laugh most of the time I listen to them. And most people just, you know, some people just gobble that up and just like, oh, yeah, sounds good. So that was funny to me. A couple other stories that was out. For those of us that don't know, I guess the price of vegetables and fruit will be going up since, you know, with all this warring with Russia and over there in the Ukraine, and we're now going to Iraq and sanctioning Russia for something that they're doing over there. So we're always somewhere else except for here. But I guess they put these sanctions on Russia, and Russia decide to reciprocate some sanctions, and they're a big supplier of agricultural imports, such as fruit and vegetables and things of that nature. So Russia said, well, since you're going to sanction me, and just to let you know that the imports from Russia was like $1.3 billion last year. And so they play a pretty big role in imports for fruits and vegetables and other eatable items. So Russia said, okay, I'm not sending you guys any more of our products. Tell me how you like that. So please be on the lookout for more than likely an increase in those things that some people eat because they have to and can't afford meat because meat is so high. I remember I was at the store the other day. I don't know what I was looking. I guess it was a gallon of milk. And I just could not believe. And it just seems like it wasn't too long ago where my mother used to send me to the store to get a gallon of milk, and it was 99 cents. And a box of honeycomb or Fruit Loops was like a dollar and something. Well, both of those are like $5 now. And I'm like, same milk, better technology, better equipment. And I'm like, am I a little bit retarded, Layla, Lori, and Rudy, when 20, 30 years ago, or let's go further back for those historians, am I a little bit off? Because, you know, sometimes I think in complex ways. When we had manual labor and we were picking the oranges and carrying them to the shed and picking the potatoes and bar cells, and we had horse and buggy and no gasoline, no trucks, no tractor trailers, no bridges, I just don't understand how things were cheaper back then, and we have far advanced technology to help us move those products, get those products, maintain those products, expedite growth of those products, and it's five times more than it was then. I'm just a little bit off on that. Can y'all chime in and tell me what I'm missing?
Well, let me do a play on words. This morning I said less is more. Well, you said it was the same milk, but I'm here to tell you it's a small package, so less is much more.
And you're right about that because it is smaller. Everything
they
is smaller.
They have reduced the packaging to give it the alluring appearance that you're getting the same value, but you're not. If you look at the ounces, they've actually shown it, that if you look at a bag of potato chips that you may have paid 99 cents for, maybe, I'm just throwing out some numbers, I don't remember the numbers, maybe it was 8 ounces for 99 cents or 12 ounces, whatever it is, and then now they reduce the packaging that ever so slight that you're not noticing it, and then they may have reduced it down from, if it was 12 or if it was 8, maybe down to 7 or down to 6 from 8 or maybe down from 10 from 12, and you really didn't notice it because the packaging size didn't look that much different, and that they're still charging you. So they are giving you less for more. The other thing is that primarily, I mean, the value, really in all what this inflation is the fact that the value of the dollar, when you compare the dollar to other currencies, has fallen. So I remember my father bought a Volkswagen. I think he paid $2,000 for a Volkswagen Beetle back in the 70s. I don't know what they go for now, but, you know, you figure a car goes for 20-some-odd thousand. Or let's say that, you know, you could buy a house for $20,000, $30,000 back in the 70s, and now that same house would run $150,000. It's because the value of the dollar is not – so it takes more dollars to buy the same item. And what the all
okay, so let me understand this. The economy crashes. Those that were making $30 an hour now is in line trying to obtain the same job with 5,000 other people that's now paying $15 an hour. But
that's correct.
Our products are going up exponentially 2 or 3 times more. They just raised minimum wage, I believe, in was that Washington, Layla? They raised it up to, what, $12, $13 an hour?
I don't know if they've done it. I don't know that they passed it. I know they were looking for 10, but
yeah,
I don't know what they did in
Washington. Yeah, they did it. I believe it's Washington State.
All right.
Well, one of them definitely raised it up, like, a pretty good amount.
Significant. Okay.
They went up high. I'm not understanding that,
the other side of the equation is the fact that this corporate greed. You know, so you've got the corporate greed on one side of it, you know, so therefore they want to increase their profits. I mean, we know that they've gone overseas to be able to, you know, they've been, you know, we've talked about this, how they've been wined and dined to go overseas because their tax base is lower, and therefore they can increase their profits. And
no, the labor is cheaper. It's not just tax base.
Exactly.
It's the labor.
Exactly.
And Seattle did raise their minimum wage to $15 an hour. I have to definitely give an applause to Seattle, Washington.
I second that. Yeah. Props to Washington. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, really. And I think part of the problem is
$15 an hour. Like that's what's up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I think part of the problem too that everybody's just, you know, missing why the milk is going up, why the price of hamburger meat. I remember when I could buy a package of hamburger meat, I mean, you know, for $1.50, right? And then a big old bag of chicken that I could feed my family on, for I could bring it home and divide it up and I don't feed the whole neighborhood, right? But there's obviously just a shortage of cows and chickens out there, right? That's what's going on.
We don't have them anymore, right?
I mean, we just obviously we're missing the boat, man. There's hardly any more cows. There's hardly any more chickens. There's hardly any more Volkswagens out there that your father or anybody else can buy. It's just a shortage, man. We're missing it. We're just missing it.
I had a brother who worked for Smithfield Ham, I believe. They made the hot dogs. Yeah, I believe it was Smithfield. And he told me a long time ago, he said, brother, you know how he spoke with the plant manager and, you know, they made hot dogs. I think it was Gwaltney, I believe it was, Gwaltney Ham or whatever. They made hot dogs. He said, do you know how much it costs to make a pack of hot dogs, wrapping and everything? I mean, that's everything. I said, what, about $2? He said, no, try again. I said, well, they sell in the store about, you can get the cheap ones, $1.99. You know, the name brand one's about $2.99. I said, it costs about $1 or $2. He says, no. He says, 11 cents to make a pack of hot dogs that includes the wrapper. 11 cents.
Nice.
Whoa.
The soda pop there, out of the mountain. That's awesome.
Goes to that corporate greed we're talking about. It's all about profits. It's all about returning to their investors, giving a great return.
Yeah, profit
to
is not a dirty word, but I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean that's what
it's the illusion.
That's what businesses are in too. Yeah, businesses are in. There are people
it's
in business to make the money and turn a profit to their stockholders. That's who they. That's who they bow down to. Their stockholders. They're providing a product and service But, you know, now we're talking about responsibility and how to do it responsibly, because without a customer, you know, you don't know, you know, for a business, if you don't have a customer, then you really know what value you're bringing to the environment, if you will. And what's happening right. also, when you look at the cost, you know, don't forget the pink slime issue. You know, the pink slime in school lunches, you know, the meat, you know, that are being fed to our children is this pink slime. So people are on edge, and they're demanding a higher quality. So a lot of people have moved to the organics. You know, so the price point for the meat products, you know, or the produce products is going up because people want the better quality. They're willing to pay that price for the better quality.
But don't y'all think so, the organic thing? See, that, from my point of view and my perspective, that the organic thing is another, you know, kumbaya, hokey deal too. It's just right along with the boogeyman theory, and it just creates another industry. It creates another theorism, another thought process for people, a concept. You know, concepts are created by men. And it's just another thing for you to buy and buy into.
And we all want value, and we're willing to pay for quality and value. But Whole Foods has been the ringleader in the marketplace, and they just went into bed with Monsanto, and Monsanto is known for using all of those pesticides in the food. So now we're going back full circle, and it's now known that in Whole Foods that you've got to really look at the labeling and know, because they do sell non-organic foods there. So some people are going there thinking they're getting better value, but they're not getting anything different than going into Walmart and buying the pink slime. So, yes, I agree with you
to that
point.
Yeah, that's interesting as well. It demonstrates that, you know, for all of you that are flooring those debt collectors, you might as well become investors in Gwaltney and Ballpark and all those.
Yeah.
Frankfurter guys, and markup is tremendous at 11 cents. I'm sure it's probably, this was a while ago when that cost was told to me, but I'm sure it's not too much difference. And also, it's a good indication of the quality of what we're eating if you can buy a pack of something that costs 11 cents. Let's switch gears and look at other profit in economics. Argentina filed a case against the U.S. in the International Court of Justice. For those of you that don't know, there is international law here. And they asked the World Court to take action against the United States over the country's sovereign debt issue. Okay, so I'll just read a little bit. President Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner administration yesterday asked the International Court of Justice, commonly known as the World Court, to take action against the United States over the country's sovereign debt issue. The latest move in its long-running dispute with holdout creditors. But there is a major hurdle to the court hearing the case. The U.S. must agree to its jurisdiction if the suit is to proceed. The Argentine Republic filed with the Registry of the International Court of Justice a document against the United States of America regarding a dispute concerning judicial decisions of the United States relating to the restructuring of the Argentine sovereign debt, the court said yesterday in a statement. Argentine has a problem with their sovereign debt, and they don't like the way the U.S. is handling it. Let me talk about one other big profit-generating business, and that's our prison system. And we'll be doing a show next week about that, because I've been reading some articles and was sent some articles on that particular area. And I'm just telling y'all right now, I think it'll anger you to no end to know what they're doing. Well, we know that there's 4 or 6 million statutes and codes, or what they call intertwine or commingle or conflate and call laws. And obviously those 4 or 6 million called laws generate a very healthy meal to the prison system in the form of human beings. And with these non-injury type codes and statutes, they call laws, people are fed to that system, put in jail for, again, crimes of no injury. And while in jail, they have just about every corporation that uses those jails set up factories within the jails. Harley Davidson, Walmart is one of those. There's several others. I'm trying to get the list up here. But there's a lot of them that invest in prison labor that pays the inmates 25 cents, 23 cents, a dollar to make Harley Davidson parts, to make military chips and equipment. They make clothes. They breed fish. They breed fruit. Prison, you're talking about slavery being reintroduced. I mean, it would absolutely anger you to see how these states use the prison system and they want to act like it costs them money. It absolutely makes them money. It is a money-generating business, and they prey on your conscience to make the public think, and they use their news media, oh, this is wrong, this is just horrible. And you see people on the TV, and you automatically believe that they did something wrong. But if you've been on the so-called underground or been exposed to other news, you will see that there is just as much, if not more, wrong being done on the other side than it is the people's side. They just don't expose it equally. Again, we expose it equally because wrong is wrong. Even it doesn't matter who, but the overall consensus of the people is that exposure of wrongdoing on the other side is not as common as someone always trying to expose a person from doing something that maybe they had to do. And we're not talking about things that are wrong. If you did something wrong, then everyone knows that Thor has no problem talking about anyone. We all make mistakes and we all have done things that are wrong, but many times the people that are judging those wrongs do wrongs themselves, and I'm sure you've seen enough of that. But there are many states that are privatizing their jails and their prisons, and I forget the name of this corporation, maybe later can help me, but one of the biggest prison corporations are making their bid to take over these states, multiple states, jails, only if they are 90% occupied. These corporations will take over, and you know if they're taking over, obviously the state is getting a profit, okay? Everything is commercial. So when you listen to what I'm telling you and the rhetoric that I'm speaking, this is how they talk about property, what they deem chattel property, which is human beings. If you guarantee us you're going to put 90% of your people in jail, we'll take over your prisons. This is the dialect of what you call states and what you may call crimes and what you may call public officials. And this is how they talk about a human life. Okay? A human life, if you guarantee it, put 90%. And understand the U.S. has the highest prison population, but it's the land of the free. Now, we're not complaining. We're just talking about things that affect the common people around here. We're not anti anything. We're just calling it as we see it. We're glad that the Creator brought us some form of debt defense and for us to be able to leverage or illegitimate debts and remove them, and those people trying to place us into poverty over them. We're glad for that information that's provided here at Thor, but we have to look at all forms of economic oppression and this is one of the biggest areas, if not right next to debt, is the profits generated by the prison population, cheap labor. And, you know, look at the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and you will see that no form of slavery is legal, but Earl is going to find a way. They're trading human lives like baseball cards. Go ahead, Layla.
Yes, it's corporations. It's Corrections Corporation of America. They were founded in 1983. They're in Nashville, Tennessee. That's where they're headquartered. And they are on the New York Stock Exchange, currently trading at $35.03 a share. And it's, the share prices right now are up 72 cents a share.
Do me a favor. Look under Apple and see what Apple shares are trading right now, if you would. Okay. One of you just Google
that.
That's
right. Isn't that crazy?
I just want to make a point.
Yeah, that.
I just want to make a point.
Because I was just about to go there. Isn't that crazy? I mean,
okay.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And not to even mention, just real quick, you know how the insurance companies, you know, the new bag is to insure their employees too, right? Just like these prison systems. I mean, it's the corporate, the whole corporate chattel domination mindset, doo-dah, doo-dah, whistle-dixie all day. Yeah, go ahead, Layla.
Okay, Apple stock today is trading at $93.76. Oh, it just changed, $93.74, down 74 cents. They were established in April of 1976, so they've got a longer tenure than the prison system. So, but they're gaining popularity. Like I said, Victoria's Secrets, I was shocked. Victoria's Secrets is one that, you know, hires, you know, has a manufacturing done through Corrections Corporation of America. So, you know, I know designer handbags are being done or manufactured through this process. It's really, really amazing. And so now that's the way that they're bringing these corporations back into the country. So, you know, we talk about bring the jobs back. Well, they're bringing the jobs back, and they're bringing the jobs back through the prison system. So there's a whole other, you know, like another few shows that could be definitely talked about, like Brother Sharif says, concerning the prison system and where things are moving. I mean, we didn't even talk. I mean, no, I don't want to go up on a tangent, but this Ebola breakout, that's a whole other venue.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where they're taking the people and, you know, what, and where the prison system is the highest, you know, is where they're bringing the people. I mean, so that's just really amazing to me.
There's a key word there. Hmm. Brother Sharif talked about the labor, the price of labor in the foreign countries. So if they're bringing the jobs back, they're competing for the price of labor, putting into the prison system.
Correct.
But don't they get paid like 20 cents a day or something like that?
Yeah, well, if you listen to Sheriff Arpaio out there, he says he can feed and hot Arpaio in Arizona, you know, the sheriff, the old slave master. I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. He says that he can house his inmates and feed them for, I believe, 25 cents a day. And I believe they get $50 a day per inmate.
So
this is not about crime. This is not about wrongdoing. This is about money. And if it wasn't about money, many of you would never run into any arrest issues. But this is all about trading human cattle as if you're fruits and vegetables, all for the love of money. But they say they're broke, okay? And they're squeezing you every day because they say they're broke, and Sheriff Arpaio is feeding them for a quarter and he's making $50. Like, I'm not getting that math. But let's look at another area. And that is maybe probably due to all of the things we're talking about. People renouncing their citizenship is up 300-something%. Yep. 300-something percent. We have alleged what they call illegal immigrants, and I take issue with that as well, because this entire nation has a good bit of immigrants here. But you have to have checks and balances. I agree with that. But, you know, you have people renunciating their citizenship up 300-something% leaving, and that's just testimony as to whether we are the land of the free or whatever other cliche they may have describing our country. People are believing up 300-something%.
Do you have any numbers on where they're leaving from? I mean, is there anything to show where the majority of the people are leaving from in the country, or is it just general, do you know?
Well, they're leaving from the U.S., by and large. They're going various places, overseas.
Well,
some of them are going to.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Where would you go? Where would you go?
I was going to say, I heard that there were a lot of people leaving out of California. Now, I haven't done any investigation or anything, so all
yes,
of that is
yes, yes, okay, I see what you're saying. Yes, that is, there's a huge influx. Like, they say California is, more people renunciate. California is really, like, in some parts, like, almost naked. Now, it could be because of the immigration problem. Then I hear the radio, the radiation problem from the Fukushima.
Yeah.
I heard that's one of the issues over there that they're not talking about. But they're talking about
right.
Ebola, but they're not talking about the radio, the radioactive materials in the water there that's been washing up for the longest. And that Fukushima plant, you would think that'll be front news. But, you know, whenever real news come out, they come out with some bug or some sickness or some bird or some mosquito or some rat, some ant
that's
drank something that's killing everybody or bit something that's killing everybody. Or he made his way along with maybe some of the illegals from over somewhere abroad and landed over here and bit some parking meter attendant on the back, and he or she gave it to everybody. I don't know what these stories are. But it's up. It says the tally was 3,000 for 2013, up 221% of people that renounce their U.S. citizenship. And there's various reasons, such as the complex and abusive tax code, which I'm sure everybody can relate to. And others just say it's just they're done with it. they're tired of it. Some people say it's a police state. I was looking at some articles of people saying, well, the Constitution is not being respected, so we don't respect it. It's a whole lot of things. I mean, there's a lot going on in the world today. The quality of life, other countries offer a better quality of family environment. And, you know, for most people, it's just costing too much to be here.
Maybe
so
that explains
that's
the,
interesting.
Maybe that explains the illegals crossing over, why they're just, it's all good. And that's
right, they got an
influx
going
influx
out,
of,
then they
got
to ask
yeah.
somebody to replace
yeah.
them.
It's
so
all good.
They're just
it's
letting
the point,
them
man.
In. Like, there's some people that want to be here. You want to leave? Go. We got some people that would
that's
love
it.
To come here.
We got more people from McDonald's. It's okay.
Have you seen the buses? I mean, the Homeland Security buses. I've seen footage about, you know, the Homeland Security buses crossing them over the border. There's a question about that, too.
I've heard,
you know,
stories about
on.
That. You know, there are allegations, but I heard that, I told you, I can give you opinions all day long. I would think that they're just trying to combine Mexico, Canada, and the United States into one big old, you know, I think they've been having plans to do that with the Arrow and things of that nature. That's just my opinion, and it's just me subscribing to some, you know, theories, which I'm just doing for entertainment purposes. I really don't give it much thought. I really don't care. But
in Canada,
it could be that.
Part of the
it could be money. It could be money that, you know, you bring some so-called immigrants in, and they don't mind paying, you know, out of every dollar, you know, they bring home 30 cents. You know, some Americans just tired of that crap. So that's why you see a surge of, you know, and I can understand it to a point, and I can not understand it to a point. That's why you see a lot of surge of, you know, what they call sovereign citizens and, you know, people trying to find ways, although some of them are more entertaining than legitimate, but people are trying to find ways to release themselves from certain oppressions because it's just, you know, it's just becoming too much to deal with. So, yeah, I can understand people, you know, trying to find ways to get the pressure off of them, and they may employ some ways and create some hate in their mind about what's going on, but always fall back on a lack of education is a lot of the problem, because we don't have the same problem as the rich, because the rich usually get the education or get the information from somewhere that allows them to get rich and stay rich, and they keep us in the blind. And that's one of the reasons for this show, is that we're at least unveiling one part of that economic, what you may call stocking, that will enable people to get a little bit more footing and stop paying people they're not obligated to and pay the people that they are obligated to. So I think that's one element of it. I also think that, you know, we're realizing that there's a lot of perceived corruption in the world, and I think we all can agree to that to a certain extent. And, you know, the people just being pushed against the wall. And when people get pushed up against the wall, at the same time they experience economic collapse and poverty is at an all-time high and food prices is at an all-time high and gasoline, and they just move if the wind blows. You know, if they say, oh, you know what, in 2020, we think we're going to have a storm over here on that oil pipe, so we're going to have to raise your gas prices a dollar to compensate for 20 years down the road. That's the kind of ignorance that I see when they just, you just don't have any control over it anymore, and it's just greed. Like, that's one of the areas, airlines and oil, gasoline is one of the areas I just feel like they're a bunch of crooks, you know, based on some perceived fear or, you know, some prophetic notion that, well, we're going to go to war, so what? Does that mean all the reserve oil we have here is going to be depleted? Like, it's just absolutely ridiculous, but what can you do?
Well, what product does the U.S. produce? I mean, what is its gross national product? I mean, we're, you know,
Consumers, right? We sold everything. You can buy anything in the U.S., a bridge, a road. You can buy a town. There was a town available for $300,000+. You can buy your own town, put your own police department, you can put your own mayor. Like, you can buy anything in the U.S. Everything is for sale. Everything. I mean that literally. Everything and everybody is for sale.
Pretty much sell off New York, like all the parks and bridges, and didn't he, like, do a good job on that? Giuliani?
Sure did.
Over there in New York? Yeah, didn't he, like, get crazy with it? Did, like, 99-year, did, like, a 99-year,
you yeah, talking about, like a you, talking about butter, you right. talking about Butterball Christie? You know, what don't they own? Do you understand? I mean, we can see you definitely own human cattle in the prison
right.
system. You know, you put them to work. Like, you got a choice, and you want to work for this 25-cent an hour, or you want to lay up in that cell. No, man, I'll work. I'll put together those Harley Davidsons.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's the point that I was making, because you've got Russia, right? Russia's putting a sanction on the vegetables and fruit that it's growing, so therefore the people here have to pay more for it because we have to get it from someplace else. We're not producing our own, right? And so now we have what you call that human cattle. That's the only produce, if you will, I'm going to call it produce, that this country has. And this country relies, and it was very clear through the election process, that this country relies on taxes. That's the only thing. I sat there thinking, like, the only revenue stream that this country has is through its taxes? Really? So the foreigners coming in, these illegals coming in over the borders, they welcome them because those are new bodies that they're going to be able to tax. And obviously they're not going to be they're going to be happy to be able to give it up because they're in the land of opportunity, so they don't mind giving 40 cents of every dollar or 50 cents of every dollar that they earn back to the country that just gave them their newfound freedom. And that's the point that I wanted to make. It's just crazy.
And it's new dependence on the whole you know, on the system, on the whole system as far as becoming, you know, it's, we're bred to be consumers and codependent on one thing or another and hopefully multiple things. You know, don't be thinking for yourself. Don't be doing this for yourself. Don't do that. Don't do this. Become codependent on everything and everyone around you. Become, you know, dependent on government, all of it. It's all a big idea.
The government is not business-minded for itself. It's business-minded for the entities or the individuals that are in those positions are business-minded for their own coffers to forward themselves for their own generations, but future generations, but not for the benefit of the people. You know, because how can you go into office broke and busted, so to speak, with very little wealth and come out of office very, very wealthy? I mean, think about it. Look at all these politicians that don't have any money. They come from meager beginnings, and they don't have any money. They get into office, and they stay in office for a while, and they come out of office, and they're wealthy because they're taking that and they're filling their own coffers with the benefits of their position.
Yeah, see a lot of corporate cannibalism. You know, everybody eating everybody now. You know, I guess they've been eating the people so long that they start to eat each other. And so you see the banks and against banks and, you know, governments against governments, and you got law enforcement against each other. And speaking of that, there was a story yesterday of a police officer that killed his daughter's teenage boyfriend. Both the husband and the wife were police officers, and I believe the daughter left the house or he kicked her out. She went and stayed with the boyfriend. And he showed up and, for some reason, just shot the kid dead while the mother, which is a police officer, stood around. And the violence is at an all-time high. Because, again, once you corner the people and you squeeze them and they have no money, they have no hope, they can't get a job, you crash the economy. We know the mortgage crisis is all greed-related. You have banks that are dealing with kingpins, and I mean, this would be a movie if it wasn't reality, and it's a shame that it is reality that we're seeing. But you know, every time you turn around, they're trying to say you put your cigarette in the wrong place, so you got to pay $200. So we're just seeing violence because people are just disheveled, they're displaced. They're being forced into poverty by debt collectors. They're being forced into poverty by the 4 or 6 million statutes and codes. And you got the greed. Now the corporations wants to eat smaller corporations. And, you know, we're at war. You know, we're over in every country in the world. But, you know, ours is, you know, at a huge disadvantage. And, you know, money is tight, but we print it. Like, you put all that together and tell me what you come up with. But meanwhile, you can go to college and you can learn how to have an economy by the people, I guess, who crashed the economy. I don't know. I don't know. If somebody was able to teach you this in college, and maybe we need to put them in the White House and see who can fix it. I'm just a dumb guy. I'm not really that smart, but I'm trying to figure out, like, how did things get here? How did it get this bad? And I'm wondering if it ever going to get better. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to share this story while my baby was being silent for just 2 seconds. I just wanted to share this with y'all just real fast in case I don't get to later. Did y'all hear about the California man, the 73-year-old California man that had won a lawsuit against the insurance company, and the insurance company was so pissed off that they lost it was a $21,000 settlement. They dropped off 16 buckets of coins, quarters, nickels, and dimes. They showed up with vans to his door and dropped it off. 16 buckets of quarters, nickels, and dimes. They were so pissed that the man had won against them.
Wow.
Is that not a hot mess?
Wow.
I just thought that was just so funny. I was like, really? Really? Yeah, yeah. Okay, this is how we're going to take care of this, Frank. I want y'all to go and get some buckets, and I want y'all to go pay that man. But I want y'all to fill all these buckets up. I want you to put them out there at the curb. We're going to make that man tote them all back.
Well, you know, those coins is lawful money. He might be better off with that than Federal Reserve notes, I tell you that.
That's
I'll tell you that. He better take that and, you know, he better take that, and they may be doing him a favor. That may be, you know, prophecy of what's
silver.
To come. Take those coins, take that silver,
that's
and
right.
run with it, because these notes are, you know, and they're suffering right now. At any rate, we can switch to our topic and subject matter and debt collection. I don't know if those of you on the mailing list received my email and YouTube video on our United States Supreme Court in the case of the Ibanez case, U.S. Bank versus Ibanez. And I sent that out to those of you to watch, and that was in my little archive in my folder. You know, you gather a lot of information, but it gave people a pretty good ringside seat to how a debt collector just absolutely cannot demonstrate any interest in those debts, and how when they try to play that lender mortgagee creditor position, you can easily tell the way they talk that they've never, ever, ever read a contract, a mortgage, a deed, and they didn't even read the law that governs them, which is, you know, the consumer protection laws, the things that we talk about. But did you just hear the justices just really ask the man some simple questions? And I think he was like many others. He contradicted himself every time he opened his mouth, and at some point he got lost. To where he didn't even know what he was. Yeah, that's what I said. No, that's not what I said. Oh, yeah, that is what I said. I mean, if y'all didn't watch that, y'all really need to watch that 37 minutes of absolute destruction. And you can follow it because, you know, they were talking a lot of things, but you knew that the attorney there representing U.S. Bank, you knew he shouldn't have been there. And really nobody should have been there because nobody would have been able to unloose that knot. Assignments, and I don't know if you guys caught it, but I'm not going to tell you because we're a study forum, we're a study group, so we don't like to give you all the answers to make you lazy. But if any of you are experiencing a debt collection action from an alleged RMIC, securitization, secondary market, pool, you know, and all these other affectionate terms, you need to watch that. It's U.S. Bank versus Ibanez, I-B-A-N-E-Z. You can find that Supreme Court case on YouTube. And I want you to listen very closely to everything that is said. But I'm going to give you a hint towards the end when the attorney for Mr. or Mrs. Ibanez spoke, and he spoke about assignments, and what I talk about here all the time, and what a lot of other people mangle when they speak about it when it comes to secondary securitization, is that there's only one entity can do an assignment, and a remic. And he said it in that YouTube video. And what he said is what I have said, but what he said you will see out amongst a lot of the courts that they misconstrue what can be done and by whom in RMIC. And I feel it's intentional because they know. So one entity can only do an assignment to a RMIC. Has to be on time. But if it's on time, it's only one entity, and I can almost guarantee you that a majority of the assignments out there as it relates to REMICs and secondary market securitizations were not done by that appropriate entity. And it kind of goes unchecked. But again, we know that assignments are just instruments, and at all times relevant, they are just collecting a debt. And we don't focus on the things in the U.S. Supreme Court demonstration in that video. But in case you needed the knowledge, and you should know it, you should understand, in case you have to defend yourself or provide some affirmative actions while you're in that particular venue, then you need to have that knowledge, and that video would give you a good bit of it. It was fun to watch. It was really fun to watch. And, you know, when you start obtaining the knowledge that we freely give you here at Thor, and if we decide to hold different seminars and webinars whereby we're teaching you certain things that we've experienced, then you can gain a lot. You can have the same reaction from a debt collector as that attorney, and bless his heart, he really tried to prove something that was unprovable, okay, and tried to move something that was immovable, and he just could not do it. So the results in that case was the homeowner won. When I look at the case, I just don't see why it ever got to the Supreme Court. It was just, to me, it was like really simple. I mean, you're at the Supreme Court and they ask you who owned the loan, and you can hardly answer that question. Like, I'm really not understanding what the discussion was about. But, you know, we got to understand that, you know, for some societies, they get paid to, you know, argue things that are clear. And there's also a lot of interpretation, let's just say, and translation of things that appear to be clear on its face. Nonetheless, good entertainment. Looking at a couple of articles here, and if you ladies want to have something to say about that, Lori, I believe you said you were familiar with that and you were thinking about it at the same time I sent it out.
Yeah, I can't comment long on it, but yeah, I thought it was something that really needed to be brought forward, and I had been talking with Layla previously that evening, real fast about a few things, and her and I had just been speaking about it, and I thought it was great that you were bringing it to everyone's attention out there. Everyone should read that case. Absolutely.
You don't have to read it. Just go watch it. Go ahead, Layla.
Yeah. I watched this in a semi-conscious state last evening, but what I can tell you was that it was very interesting. I remember fully watching the first attorney, and then the second attorney came on and speak, and I could hear, just listening to it, the clarity in voices. The first attorney who was representing U.S. Bank, he sounded kind of sheepish, and the judge is cross-examining him, and he would come back and say, well, eventually say, well, I really don't know about that, or something of that nature. Like, he would say something and then come back and say, well, I really don't know. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my goodness, you don't know. Why are you there?
You know, a parody came to my mind when I was watching it, because I'm always putting – you know, my avatar out there, and I'm saying, I'm picturing a scenario where I'm up there, and I got those three or four or five justices, and they're hitting me. Well, Brother Sharif, I'm like, I'm an A3, and they're like, well, who did that? I said, that's just an A5. Well, who owns it? They're just an A6, Justice. They're just an A6. I mean, they're not an A4. I don't understand why I'm here. And I was playing all kind of scenarios, laughing and talking about, let's talk about mortgages. Mortgages is an A5. It's a debt. Yeah, that doesn't matter. I don't care about the assignment. The assignment, you know, and I'm just going back and forth, and I'm like, I can imagine that an attorney felt with four or five justices coming at you. Well, let me ask you a question. Who? And he's just like, huh? And then the other one jump in, and I'm just like, this is why we say at Thor, you really have to know it. You got to know it. You got to know it. So when you're up there and you have your opportunity, before that judge or magistrate or administrator, that you're able to recite your A3Cs, okay? Your A3, your A4s, your A5s, your A6, your 1692s, your Gs, that you know your commercial Bibles, which is the FDCPA, FCRA, and TCPA, and you have to know it, or you will be like that attorney up there being asked questions right behind each other, and you'll be like, well, I don't know. They'll start taking you back into the mortgage debt talk, and you'll fall in there, and you'll be like, wait a minute, come on now. You got to stop doing that, sir. Counsel, you know you're an A6 too now, right? So you need to watch what you're saying if you can be held accountable. So it was interesting. I enjoyed it, looking at it again. There's a couple of other Supreme Court cases, I believe, Carpenter versus Longin and a couple of others, and a variety of cases. If you go to your Supreme Court site, your state Supreme Courts, there's a lot of appearances attorneys make on behalf of foreclosures that are just as entertaining and will give you an abundance of information that you can use, as opposed to sometimes getting some of it or even none of it from other sources that may not be as informed. So you don't have to get it from here. You can get it from anywhere. But Thor Radio, we try to bring you at least our version of that. Another matter was, I see some news popping up here, and then we'll go to the caller line. I believe we only have one, but some more news up here regarding some Tampa foreclosure mill. The law offices of Daniel C. Consrugra, they sound familiar, once under state investigation, now suing for unpaid mortgage debt. So let me see what that's about. The Tampa-based law offices of Daniel C. Consrugra was hired to file the deficiency judgment in court for the company Dick O'Neill, which is acting on behalf of Fannie Mae. Consrugra is one of multiple so-called foreclosure mills that became a target in 2011, as it came to light that lenders were not properly documenting foreclosure paperwork and used RoboSign to attest to the veracity of documents they did not read. So give me a minute here. I'm just trying to get the rest of the article. The Consrugra firm was on Fannie Mae's retained attorney network in Florida and was added to the list of companies investigated late in the game. Peter Antonacci, who served as the interim state attorney in Palm Beach County last year, represented Consrugra during the inquiry by the Florida Attorney General's office that Consrugra was a legitimate guy running a good business. The Florida Attorney General's investigation eventually fizzled after the Florida Supreme Court backed previous rulings saying that the office did not have the authority to investigate law firms under the Florida Deceptive and Unfair Practices Act. So this is like the second state, as well as Georgia, when y'all seen that the CFPB went after a bunch of foreclosure debt collection mills down there and took them into state court under the state consumer protection laws, and Supreme Court got involved and basically, in my opinion, or from what I read, and I don't know if this is factual, it's just my opinion, that they intervened and was like, no, you can't bother them. Only we can do that. So we see again in Florida, the Supreme Court tells the Attorney General's office, you can't investigate any of the law firms under the Unfair Practices Act. I don't know why, but I'm a shut up, and I think everybody understands. But however, in the Florida case, when that happened, I mean in the Georgia case, when that happened, the CFPB was involved. It wasn't the Attorney General's office. So the CFPB, which is the federal agency, had took those law firms in state court under the state consumer protection laws. Supreme Court jumped in like Florida Supreme Court did, and the CFPB was like, okay, you want to do that? We'll just take them over here in federal court and just slid them on over there to federal court to, you know, a judge that was, you know, pretty agreeable with their plans. I'll say it like that. So, you know, Supreme Court can't really do anything. The state Supreme Court can't really do anything about that district court over there. So, again, you know, these things happen, and I tell people all the time, a lot of it is politics. All right? A lot of it is politics. And you understand when you start litigating it, you'll experience some politics. Nonetheless, that's one of recent news topics. Fannie Mae going after years-old unpaid mortgage debt hires Texas firm down there where you at, Larry. Dick O'Neill. You know Dick?
No, I don't think I've ever heard of him.
Layla, you don't know Dick?
I have to pick him up.
Dick O'Neill. You know Dick O'Neill. He was married to Mary O'Neill down there around the come down on the ranch right around the bend over there. You know Dick. We went to school with him. You remember his daddy on that farm down around there about on the north side of you remember him. But anyway. They went and hired Dick, and Dick is going after some Florida residents. Who are facing new foreclosure ramifications as banks pursue the unpaid mortgage debt for homes that were sold at the auction block up to 5 years before. If y'all don't start learning the consumer protection laws, I'm telling y'all are going to be debt slaves forever. Yes, I said up to 5 years before. Yes, I did say that. So only you would know to be like, what? But most people would read his article and be like, oh, okay, well, you know the first thing gonna come to people's mind, well, you know, we did get the debt. We did. We did stay in the house a year later and we didn't pay. We did. You know, so you know, people are gonna be of that mindset, and we hope that Thor reaches out and, you know, somehow touch them in their hearts and minds and spirits and teach them to understand their consumer protection laws and know what can and cannot be done. So, you know, Dick is out there. And Dick is looking for consumers that are uneducated or feel guilty that they didn't pay a debt that, you know, in some instances they're not obligated to, at least at this point, or not obligated to the parties that are coming after them. So please learn your consumer protection law or Dick will be coming after you, and you need to know what to tell Dick when he shows up. All right, let's see what else we got, and then we'll go to the caller line, see if anybody want to chop it up with us on a variety of topics. Texas, again, another Texas win in the first district, BRUESS, Bruce versus Residential Credit Solutions. All right. Finally, Texas is on the map with a case.
I like it.
All right. Finally. I mean, I don't know how many Texas has been silent on this stuff. So anyway, this is about Residential Credit Solutions. Wait a minute. I know that's not who I think it is. If that's who I think it is, they've been Thor'd before. We're going to be coming out with a Thor'd list so y'all know what debt collectors, our members, supporters, and listeners that has been helped and aided through the information by and through Thor have been able to place the hammer upon the heads of a debt collector. You will notice them by the ridges in our hammer, maybe by a dent about the head, and you will be able to recognize that one of your sisters or your brothers may have already hammered this debt collector, so they should be familiar maybe with some of the ways Thor communicates, and they might be able to see some similar communication and be like, and have some flashbacks and be like, you know what? That thing just reeks with some Thor language, and we don't want to go there again. But anyway, RCS got Thor'd, and a lot of other people got Thor'd. I got a lot of emails. My goodness. I mean, I got to start having a show addressing the emails and successes that people are having and the many thanks and blessings bestowed upon us, Thor, and everybody here for giving them the information. Of course, it goes about saying that information that is powerful to some are abused by others, and people use it in the wrong way and use it an oppressive way to basically, I'm not going to say it. We're going to leave it at that. I think that's about it. Lori, wait a minute. I want the article you sent me, I want to go over about what some cases you sent me. And let me give this disclaimer and say this, not disclaimer, but a warning to all of you, because we at Thor desire to be a place where you can come and get an honest opinion and assessment on some things that you may hear, some activities, some products, processes, some procedures that you will get a great deal of while searching for information in this information lane. There's a lot of different philosophies promoted to relieve you of debts. They call them discharge. They call them claims time. They call them A for Vs. They call them, you know, all kind of things. And, you know, we're open-minded here at Thor, and I'm open-minded because I've seen a variety of things. I've seen just about everything. I've heard about them. We're not saying that other alternatives don't exist, but I will say the majority of what you will hear and see out there, and Rudy would be able to attest to that, maybe Lori and Layla, the majority of that stuff is either not complete or, as we know, you can listen to Thor for yourself and get the information and not hear it from someone else, but when someone else tries to explain the information they may get from here or anywhere else, it's usually diluted or there are elements and pieces that are missing which render the process ineffective. So, you know, you run into some groups that'll promise you can send some cheese and crackers on a document and do some other things and talk about your nationality or talk about whether you're the first experimental project here or the last, or, you know, or they say that you can pretty much disappear into a spacecraft and come back when the debt collectors all go out of business. You know, these other type theories, you need to research those things. If you have a concern, you can come to the store, and between myself, Rudy, and Lori and Layla, I mean, I'm sure we can find an answer as to this process you may have a desire to participate in. But you'll have a lot of information out there. You have some people that say they got the information from here and want to charge you $5,000 when you listen to me, to them even explain the information they got from here. It's totally mangled. Totally mangled. Okay, this is why we promote here self-empowerment. Learn it for yourself. Know it for yourself. So you will not fall victim to some, and I'm going to use the word guru, that themselves has never discharged anything, themselves has never sued a debt collector, themselves, in much respect, and my team know what I'm talking about, many of them can't even spell correctly, but they're going to sell you a package for $5,000, and they don't know anything about what they're selling. So just look out for that information. We give a lot of information here at Thor at no cost, and we do some webinars and teachings that will give you information on a specific topic that you can have for yourself. Okay? So be careful of that. I heard a couple of groups out there doing webinars on how to delay your foreclosure. Like, really? How to delay your foreclosure? Like, I know an 8-year-old that can do that. I won't say their name, but, I mean, you know, these kind of things, you want to deal with your debt. You don't want to appear to be a nutcase. And what we promote here at Thor is that there's a remedy in the law. If you learn the law, it's work for me, everybody else on this panel, and many of the listeners that is listening to this show today has experience, and the hundreds that I get emails from. So you don't have to go engage in something that sounds like it allows you to be retaliatory and show your anger and become just as abusive as you claim you're being abused. That's not the right way to handle things. And just to let you know, a lot of those things you may participate in, and I'm not saying that our government or society don't hide things from you or they do everything that's right or say everything that's true, but I'm reading an article that, you know, the sovereign citizen movement is the number one terrorism group being watched by Homeland Security and other people. So that article is going around. Now, what a sovereign citizen is, I don't know. It's a name that really is an oxymoron. But nonetheless, you know what they're talking about. You know, certain things just sounds like it's out of a science fiction movie. And they may consider that to be sovereign citizen related. Whether it has a meaning or not, I think some of you are able to know what that means. And that warning is just to the people that don't know anything about these things. You know, stop always trying to find a way to get around educating yourself about your situation and understand your situation may be similar but not identical to others. Every case is different. Take your case into your own hand, help your neighbors, help your family, help your friends, but be slow to become somebody's guru or have someone rely upon you when you don't have a full understanding, education, and then the experience of what you're trying to talk about and teach. You can't teach unless you've done it, unless you've experienced it, and experienced it more than one time. Okay? So we're just putting out that warning to you. Because there are many people that just come into this environment for the first time, and there's many of you that are seasoned in guruism, and you've experienced mostly every process that's out there. Unfortunately, we're not talking to you because you should know better by now, but some of you are addicted to certain things, and some of you are not. But Thor is always going to be here. We're always going to sound the alarm for these type of activities. No, we don't go out seeking and looking, you know, for gurus and shows, they usually come to us. They usually find their way here through some distressed homeowner that probably winds up in a worse situation that they were in, maybe wind up before some law enforcement official based on some activities that somebody told them that they didn't investigate, or maybe they just didn't have a warning about. So we're doing our job. We're throwing out the warning. We're going to leave it there. We don't have to pursue them. We're going to stand on our truth and our beliefs, and hopefully you see the relevance in it. And if you don't, we just told you about the prison prophet. Maybe you want to be one of those working for 25 cents an hour making a $15,000 Harley Davidson. I don't know. It's up to you. Lori, Layla, Rudy, you have anything to say about that before I go to the next topic?
I think, and this is, I'm sorry. I think the statement may be premature and maybe something that could be held over until next week. But a lot of times, people come into the situation of this foreclosure arena, which we now know as the debt collector arena, and those persons are fearful. They're unknown for something and then another. And then when they approach other people, as you say, they victimize them. They take advantage of them, and they instill fear in them for that which is to come, instead of educating themselves and the people they're trying to help where everybody could move along on an even keel. And so that's part of the problem that we see on a regular basis. And that's why I thought it's so important, because it does educate you and it teaches you to help educate yourself. And when you don't understand something, if you're in the queue here, you press the button and you ask the question. You don't know something, you get to the library, you get to some books, you start to read and understand your own particular situation, because your particular situation is like your eyeball and your fingerprint. It's unique. You can't take a document and fill in the blank and hope to get someplace. It just doesn't work. And that's some of the things that we see on a regular basis. And as you mentioned too earlier, I deal with it every day. People have got to get educated. They've got to make the choice to do what they have to do for their own particular situation. So I just kind of wanted to interject that as I'm in the background multitasking here. Great call.
You really have no other alternative but to pick up the book and read, okay? I mean, it's really no choice. I mean, you have the gurus out there that's going to send you down into the dungeon of your economics. You got the debt collectors, and then in some respects, you got all the other agencies that want to eat off of your labor, and sometimes you just don't even have it, which is why suicide is up, divorce is up, our country is up, morality is in the ground. People are falling for all type of other things, including, you know, different religious factions, and we're just vulnerable because we're in a lower state of frequency. We're at a lower state of vibration, so we fall for anything almost. Because I'll be honest with you, some of the things that I see people get involved in, this is why people say, oh, you're talking down to the people. I'm just really trying to prick your conscience and trying to shock you a little bit and ask you the question, what were you thinking? Or did you think at all? Because some of the processes that I see, it just does not make any good sense. You're angry, you're mad, you're listening to doom and gloom. People tell you that the world is going to end. They're trying to kill you. They're going to murder you. They're going to, you know. I was talking to one gentleman the other day, and he said, well, you know, Homeland Security bought all these bullets, and we did the math, and it's about 7 bullets per person in the world, and this, that, and the third, and, you know, they plan on killing us. So I said, let me ask you something. Like, okay, how did you come to that conclusion? Okay, so you said Homeland Security, and I think Homeland Security has basically been put on a level of being the superior law enforcement agency of the country, aside from the military, right? So how about you think the other way? Maybe with so much of the other things is going on, because y'all have to look at the entire picture, there's a lot of battling going on intrastate and interstate. You have federal government, having certain issues with constitutional rights. Okay? So you have state and feds going at each other. You have sheriffs and police officers and police departments having issues with the feds. Everybody is having an issue right now. Oppression is hitting the people that at some point, in some instances, have oppressed you. So maybe the Homeland Security is really not to handle a million people because they can't. Maybe in case something happens and they have to maybe shut down some of these law enforcement agencies or keep some of them in check. Stop always thinking the worst with things and think that maybe if things get out of hand and you may have some constitutional issues with some states and you may have, like we have now, the federal government saying, hey, states, you can't do that, and then you have the states saying, hey, feds, you can't do that, and then you hear the word sovereignty running around, which is not the people, by the way. I'm not talking about that. You have some states saying, I don't like what's going on in this political fashion, and I don't like this going on, and we're sovereign, we can do what we want, and then the federal government, no, you can't. There may be an issue between the two to where they may have to send a superior law enforcement agency and just shut everybody down that feels that they have power. It can be a variety of things. When you start focusing on all of these different things, I'm telling you, you're losing every day. Focus on yourself, your mindset, your spirituality, first and foremost, because you're going to need that whether you're broke or rich, okay? Your family, family values, and then focus on your economics and make sure that if you're spending a dollar, it's a dollar towards what you want to do and not a dollar towards somebody that you're not obligated to or deserving of your debt. Free yourself first. This is why I have an issue with people that get a little bit of information and become abusive with it to those that don't know anything, because I really think you're cowards. Instead of leading people to the book, you want to become their hero. You want to talk a lot because you really think that you know everything. And you don't. I don't know everything. Which is why Thor stays in a particular lane, because we feel like we have a pretty good hold on that lane and a pretty good track record. Okay? We may veer off into other topics, but if we do, we tread lightly and we give you our opinions and we laugh about it and we talk about it. But just be careful as a people out there. If we can help one person avoid some of these pitfalls, we've done our job. We're not trying to save the world. We're not trying to recruit you. We're not trying to lead you down. We have a safe path here, as Mother says, Rudy. We're safe over here with what we're talking about, with what we're doing. We're not worried about you calling the next day talking about you went to jail because you sent somebody a notice of dispute. Or you're being arrested because somebody told you to go break back in your house. We don't do that kind of stuff here. Okay? It's not worth it. Not worth you going to jail. It's not worth you trying something that you can't read somewhere or where people tell you it's a secret. And they tell you they can teach you how to remove $300,000 worth of debt. Right? Right? They're just as broke as you. I mean, just think about it. Or they tell you that they can help you with your mortgage, but they have one. Or they can help you with your debt, but they have one. They have them. They're going to charge you for sending out a letter that they got from somewhere else, but they're still sending out the same letter too. Let's just think. Let's get our spirit level up. Let's get our vibrations up and our frequencies, and then we'll be able to really avoid a lot of the issues that I see come through our emails, and we'll be able to warn enough people to rely upon thyself first and your intuition and your discernment, and we can all pull together and work through it together. Because if the people doesn't change things, it's not going to change. They're not going to change unless the people change. Everything revolves around you and your education and your knowledge. Everything. Okay? You're not going to get it from someone else. You can't steal it. Can't cheat. We can give you the answers here, but if you don't know how to apply it and how to write it and where to do it and when to do it, it's not going to do any good. We have to stop being lazy. We have to understand that we are consumers most of the day. And we have to leverage our desire to sink our head into our biblical instruments, for example, our Bible, and we have to spend equal time in our commercial Bibles, which is the FDCPA, the FCRA, the TCPA, and your consumer protection laws. Because everything we're talking about is debt. And if you don't understand what your obligations are and are not as it relates to debt, then how can you really serve your family, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your job, your community, when you are so oppressed over debt? When you make a dollar and you come home with 25 cents, you come home with no more than the guy sitting in prison makes an hour. So, let me move on because I'll get five emails saying, man, stop preaching, man.
Brother Sharif?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, before you move on, I got a couple of Skypes a few moments ago, and they were saying thank you for the U.S. Bank versus Ibanez YouTube, basically saying that in stepping back to look at it since the education of Thor, they see that hidden message in there. And a lot of times once you increase your education, if you kind of look back over your shoulder a little bit, you'll see a lot of things that you missed. So this Ibanez YouTube video is excellent, and they wanted to thank you for putting it up so they could go look at it, those who had seen it before and those who had never seen it at all.
Oh, indeed. Thank you. Thank you. And we appreciate
it. You're welcome.
Again, we get a lot of emails, and I want to say thank you to everybody. I sincerely really take to heart all of your deposits of blessings and gratitude, and we help a lot of people behind the scenes y'all don't know. And a lot of times when we talk about topics, they're topics because we're receiving an influx of information from people that are in distress over doing certain things that we know better not to do. So, you know, we understand you being patient, and we understand that sometimes you'll have to listen to some things you may already know or you may take for granted, but for someone else, it can change their lives, and it does. I want to say, Rudy, that every time I watch a movie, I get something different out of it. Like, I can watch movies, and then years later, I'll watch it again, because we advance in our knowledge, and the Creator is always increasing our intellect and our vibrations and our frequencies, that we're able to see different things. Our vision changes. It becomes more profound. It might become deeper in depth. And every time I watch that case, like, I hear something else different, or I just notice the body language, and you know, I might pick up on something, you know, that they say, and it's always a good thing to watch the knowledge that you have, you be able to place yourself in that environment. And that's what we want the people that listen to Thor to be able to see what the issues are and are not, and be able to have an opportunity to cut to the chase, okay, because sometimes we don't have time to go the scenic route learning this stuff. You're right there in the heart of battle, and you need to get in, and you need to get out. So sometimes we just can't dance around things. And I know Thor gives you the meat and the potatoes, because some of you say, ouch, and some of you be screaming, it's too hard or it's too rough. But when you get out there, it's going to be rough. You're dealing with trained people. You're dealing with trained debt collectors, and they're represented by trained people, and you're going to have to know your stuff. All right?
Well, on the Ibanez, let me make one comment, then I'll get back in the wing call with Lori. When I watched this, I watched it twice this morning. I looked at the faces of the justices as they were questioning the attorneys, and they were trying really hard to understand and make sure they had a clear understanding and asking the right questions. And, I mean, can you just imagine the justices on this level struggling with what the questions were and the answers and then going into the local courts with some of the same arguments and issues and how it just got swept underneath the rug. And I think that was the thing that just caught my attention. I watched their facial expressions, and they were really concerned trying to make sure that they made the right decision with the information that was presented to them, which goes back to the fact that you need to know your case, whatever it is, and get educated, present it properly so that those who receive the information on the other side can rule properly as the triers of fact.
That's a great point. It's an interesting point because a lot of times, you know, if we're not as educated as consumers, sometimes you do have to rely upon others that you may trust for whatever reason and rely upon different instruments and documents or information they give you and they feel will be useful. But you have to study that information. You have to know that information. You have to be able to speak in a way to where others may understand. I think many of us think that in order to go into court and deal with a debt issue, that you have to be so articulate, that you have to know legalese. Trust me, and let me say this loud and clear, you just need to know what the truth and the law that supports your truth. That opposing party is going to throw enough at you to get you off of the truth and the law that supports your truth. The FDCPA, the FCRA, the TCPA, and your state consumer protection laws are your laws. The laws that were being discussed in the Supreme Court were real estate, creditor, mortgagee, lender laws. If you are in the presence of a creditor or mortgagee, then you need to really listen to that, and you need to obtain securitization information, and you need to find you a good auditor that can provide you that information. But if you are not in front of a creditor or a lender, which as you can see, they had a hard time playing that role because those that play that role know that role. Okay? It's not that complex. Either I owe you money and you can prove it, or I don't. Either you have a contract to support your claims or you don't. Either you're the party that I owe or you are not. Either the document is authentic or it is not. It is very simple, but may come complex if you allow it. All right? So, with that said, I want to say hello to the chat. Africa the Great. Mr. Plani, it's my house. See, you're new. Zaya5417, thank you for the email and support. You being here constantly and definitely. We receive all the blessings that you bestow upon us. If y'all have any questions, go ahead and let it out. Appreciate Africa the Great providing the Bank of America settlement. That's one of the emails we sent out. And I still don't understand, you know, the Justice Department, I guess, is negotiating with the Bank of America over settlement over toxic mortgages. And they're asking for, well, they're asking for some money and some cash. I mean, I don't know what the Justice Department need with cash. Where is it going? Cash. So they want, as Brother Sharif refers to, when I do negotiation, if I find some egregious violations, I always say, you're going to need to send over a man in a nice suit with a chrome briefcase with a handcuff connected to it, money. And that's my little cliche, but it seems like the Justice Department wants a Brinks truck with $4 or $7 billion in cash, and then the rest, I don't know, in check and gold bars and Hershey Kisses. I don't understand. I'm lost. But at any rate, you know, maybe they plan on giving some cash out to some of the homeowners. I don't know.
No. Hey, Sharif, you know what?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey,
Hey, I was just wanting to chime in on that just real fast while I could. I was reading somewhere on that whole deal that they were trying to, Bank of America, they are trying to negotiate with the Justice Department on, they're wanting like 150,000 homeowners' mortgages back and to be able to renegotiate and modify and finagle and blow up the, you know, put more kernels in the popcorn kettle and let pop them again and trying to get out of paying that money. They're getting crazy with their talks. Getting crazy. Crazy, crazy. Let's just put more people in the machine.
Understand that you should read those opinions in cases where the CFPB and the Justice Department goes after your debt collectors or even your creditors and see whether you may have a private right of action as it relates to the consumer protection laws to bring your own individual action. And you should always look there first. Okay? There was a couple of cases I found that Layla sent me over. I'll share, and then the caller that we had in queue on the caller line, they got out. But you can call in 657-383-0332. I promise we are going to the caller line in about 5 minutes. So you have a question, comment, or concern, or you just want to chat it up with us for the next 30 minutes or so, call in and press 1. But there were some articles my research team, Layla, she's the research team, sent me a list of some articles that may be entertaining to most people out there to show you the dynamics of the consumer protection laws and what fine line these debt collectors have to walk or drive. And there was a case, Harris versus Barton, B-A-R-T-O-N, and the plaintiff alleged that the defendant violated the FDCPA by falsely representing meaningful attorney involvement in the sending of collection letters. Defendant moved to dismiss, arguing that the claim was barred by the FDCPA's one-year statute of limitation. The court denied the motion, meaning they denied the debt collector's motion, finding that the date the letter was sent was disputed and that discovery would be needed to determine the date the letter was sent. Wow. Another case, Grubb versus Green Tree Servicing. Many of you may be familiar with them. And that was the case where the plaintiff alleged that the defendant violated the FDCPA by sending false or misleading collection letters. Defendant moved to dismiss, arguing that the letter was a welcome letter. Y'all listen to that? Okay. I wish you'd send me a welcome letter. I'm going to welcome you to the district court. Sent a welcome letter and not an intent to collect the mortgage debt, for those of you. And we seem like we're a mortgage show. I don't. We're just a pitch show, but, you know, it's a lot of people concerned about mortgages. But the letter states, as of April 30th, 2013, and how many times have I said this, you owe $307,606.12. In denying the defendant's motions, the courts found that though no explicit demand for payment was made, let me read this again so y'all will understand what I'm saying. This consumer sued Green Tree Servicing, who is a debt collector, and said that they violated the FDCPA by sending false or misleading collection letters. Now, I'm assuming that these collection letters were in the form of a statement. A statement, just so you know, is a demand for payment. There's no welcome letter, no love letters from debt collectors or people acting as mortgagees or mortgagors or whatever. Mortgagees, rather. There's no, you don't send me a what up letter or how you doing or what it is. But they sent this person who obviously they believe was in some mortgage relationship with them. And the letter apparently just said, you know, as of April 30th, you owe $307,606.12. See, you got to understand these debt collectors, they don't follow really as they do when you get into litigating in the courts. You'll notice that some of the same motions are the same motions everywhere. Like, I mean, they have books for that, and we've shared with you those books. But you will see that
form letters are not usually used with these debt collectors. These debt collectors try to get creative in the way they try to encourage you to pay a debt. So in this particular way, they just sent a statement saying, as of this date, this is what you owe. And they almost intentionally omitted the words, pay this, okay, or you need to pay this. So they just, you know, kind of softly threw it out there. You know, as of this date, you know, you owe $307,606.12. So they moved to dismiss, saying that the letter was just a welcome letter, and you'll get these letters from service. Hey, we're your new servicer. And Layla, what's the question after they say that? What is the question Thor teaches here when they say you're a servicer?
Are you a bank servicer or a non-bank servicer?
Oh, shucks. Oh, shucks. Boy, I better look out. Layla is ready to go.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Layla ready to go. Don't play with her. Are you a bank servicer or non-bank servicer? Okay, so anyway, the court denied the debt collector's motion to dismiss, saying that although, listen, no explicit demand for payment was made, the letter was an attempt to collect the debt because it stated the amount of the debt and provided payment options. Did y'all hear that? Okay. Did y'all hear that? Good.
Yes,
Grub versus Green Tree Servicing. Why don't you go read that and see what the court said that can be. And I'm going to make sure that everybody don't take what I say literally unless you apply it correctly to your situation. We're not saying that all mortgages or mortgagees are debt collectors. We would have no way of knowing that. Okay? But this particular case appears to be just one of those welcome letters that the service is saying, hey, welcome to Green Tree Mortgaging and Servicing, and your amount due at this point is so-and-so, and understand that nothing's changed about your loan, and we're just going to be the ones collecting from you. And we like to let you know that we're your servicers, non-bank servicers. You determine what we are. We're going to be as vague as possible, and we're going to hope you fill in the blanks, and we're not going to send you a demand for payment. We're just going to say you owe $307,000. And you're going to hope that the consumer does not listen to Thor Radio Network, and you're going to hope that those letters slide through and you just believe that you owe them and just send them your payment. In this case, the court said although you didn't ask for a payment, there was an amount of a debt on there, and any least sophisticated or unsophisticated consumer would think that you're making a demand for payment, and this consumer is not one that you've seen in the Ibanez case where he's standing before the Supreme Court and they can, you know, practice a very extensive diction and vernacular and be able to discern what you're saying. They're not supposed to be confused about your communication. If you put an amount on there, you're to them, to Bubba, to Aunt Willie, to Aunt May and all them, if you put an amount on a piece of paper, they're going to think you owe them. All right, so here it is. That letter, which they deem was a welcome letter, was a violation of the FDCPA. And that was Green Tree Servicing. And most of you know them guys as bank servicers, but if you've listened to us, you probably understand they're non-bank servicers. And, you know, you can have a waitress and a waiter as a server, and you know, you can your lawn man can be a servicer, and you know, you get service anywhere. Many people are servicers, but it all depends on what kind of servicer they are. Servicer is vague, just like officer is vague. What kind of officer? Just like debt is vague. What kind of debt? So keep that in mind. In another case, Gersten versus Clerk Kunk Law Firm, Gersten, G-E-R-S-T-E-N, versus Kunk Law Firm, the plaintiff alleged that the defendant violated FDCPA attempting to collect a mortgage debt in foreclosure proceedings. Now, I received an email from one of our listeners that say they often have issues with Rooker-Feldman doctrine, and we explain to you what that is, and, you know, and many times counsel will try to conflate the issues regarding foreclosure and try to commingle it with debt collection action, and you have to, at all times, those matters separate. They are not the same. If they're doing a foreclosure over there, they may think that they're doing a foreclosure, and they may name it a foreclosure, and let them do so. But when you come over into the consumer protection law side of it, and you come into your district court, you are talking about a debt collection that is in the form of a foreclosure. Okay? You say that, but they're not the same. So this is what they try to do in Gersten versus Kunk Law Firm. The plaintiff alleged that the defendant, the law firm, violated the FDCPA attempting, okay, which is what I haven't read the case, which is what I gather from what's being said here, and they were proceeding with the foreclosure action, or alleged foreclosure action in the state court. And I guess the Gersten sued, okay, saying that they were attempting to collect a debt, a mortgage debt in foreclosure proceedings. The defendant, the law firm, moved for judgment on the pleadings, saying that basically the court was saying, like, look, just give us judgment on the pleadings based on their pleadings, and judgment should be entered in our favor and the case should be dismissed because there is no violation. Well, I want y'all to listen to this because this is something I always say, and then Lori seems to always, and I think the universe works in harmony with people doing good things. She always seems to find something that parrots what I always say. And that is, the court said that the defendant moved for judgment on the pleadings arguing, this is the defendant law firm debt collector, arguing that the FDCPA would not apply to statements made in judicial proceedings. Now, it's funny, Lori just sent me this case because we discussed last Tuesday how we discussed a few cases where there were class action lawsuits against foreclosure firms for erroneous statements concerning the character amount of the debt, concerning who a creditor was or who a debt collector was, okay? They made those statements in pleadings, okay? We've talked about pleadings a great deal here. So here, the Gerstens took what was said in a pleading within a foreclosure complaint and sued the foreclosure mill on that. And the foreclosure mill said, oh, you can't use information we say in pleadings. Those are just pleadings. And the court was like, no. And the court found that the actions made during the foreclosure proceeding could be subject to the FDCPA. We just went over that. So, let me interpret a little bit. Let me do a Thor interpretation. Put it in maybe a scenario that you understand. You have a right to remain silent, and anything that you say or do may be used against you. Many of you can probably understand that, Mr. Debt Collector, Mr. Foreclosure. Everything you write or say, you can remain silent, but if you go writing complaints and any of that information is erroneous, that could be a violation of the FDCPA. Now, I'm going to go ahead and whisper to most of you, many times what they say in those complaints are violations. You have to know how to recognize them and
Can't be emotional about it. You can't just rely on one. Just let the debt collectors talk. As you've seen in that video in the U.S. Bank Ibanez case, the more and more that attorney talked, the debt collector attorney talked, the worse it got. Because he was asked one question and his answers generated another question to his answer. And then that answer generated another question to that answer. And before you know it, when they were asking questions, I think the man just wanted to run out. I think he just wanted to run out of court. I really think he really regretted being there. Okay? So, you ladies have anything to say on that? We're going to go to call the lines. And we're going to go ahead and knock it on out here, maybe. Maybe go to the chat, see if any more questions.
It was interesting that you said that because as the other two lawyers were standing there giving their testimony, he sat there with his head bent down like he was going to say, "Beam me up, Scotty. Could you please get me out of here?"
He really did. I kind of felt sorry for him, but he's doing his job, and I'm sure he relished in the opportunity to be before a Supreme Court, but I'm sure he was laughed at by his peers, and I'm sure he got a lot of attaboys. You know, you tried, but there was just no way. And if you listen to Brother Ayman, who's here on the show that's dealing with the same thing, he will tell you firsthand, you stick on the truth, you get them to talk, and you stick on the truth. You don't let them get you off the truth, because if they get you off the truth, they're going to drown you in assignments and endorsements and in this case, 50 other cases and this and that. And, I mean, they're absolutely going to have you looking like that attorney did in front of the Supreme Court. Okay? So
I have to make a
stay
correction,
on point.
Sharif. I think I have to make a correction. I said testimony. I think I thought I was in church. They were giving their arguments.
Oh, that's an interesting word. Now, let me get on that word, argument. Are you arguing in court, or are you stating the facts? Think about that for a minute.
Oh, I love that.
Who's arguing?
You need
to read some of these orders, because some of these courts are allowed to make rulings, and they will tell you right there in front of you. Based on the argument, I like the argument of that attorney more than that one. Like, I really like the way he spun that. I mean, you know what? He wins on the argument, not the facts. You just want to stick to the facts. Because many of you, if you go on a lot of these sites and a lot of these groups, and I'm not pointing fingers at them, they get into arguments. I mean, they really get into arguments and theories and all kind of, you know, entanglement and get off their facts. You're just in there. You're not getting paid by the hour, and you don't have many billable hours. You get in there, you state your facts, and you exercise the language of silence. Sometimes you got to know when to shut up. A lot of these people out here that talk about the subject matter, they get so scientific with it. Okay, they want to make it sound very complex, which is one of the things our members and our listeners say they enjoy Thor's, because I try to keep it simple. I can sound all complex and make you dependent on asking me 100 questions and trying to justify all the extra stuff that I said, but I try to keep it simple. But then some of the effect of keeping it simple is that some people think it's too easy, and it can't be that easy, and they think it's no power in what we're saying. And that's a fatal mistake. So, wait a minute. I got to pause. I got my Yama here today. Let me open up the line and hear from the mother. When did you sneak in here, mother?
Shalom, shalom, shalom. I hadn't pressed one. And so I pressed one, and not only that, I was on the computer, and I hit something, and it went to my email, and I saw that you were on. So that's when I came in.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Everything is
good.
Everything is Thorbration. I'm celebrating and I'm vibrating every time
new word.
I hear.
Write that down. Write that down. Thorbration.
Yes. It's a combination of celebrating and vibrating to another level. So I'm enjoying it. Yes.
Thorbrating.
Thorbrating is celebrating and vibrating to another level. Always getting an increase.
Wow.
Yes.
You know what I just envisioned? We're going to see a lot of members, a lot of our Thor family out there in court with our own language. And they'd be like, you heard,
yes.
Did you hear them say that? Thorbrating? That's one of them Thor words, and you better dismiss your case. I'm telling you right now. Those
and
people
see,
come together, and they don't play.
We need new words because some of the words we think are beneficial, and they're not. So if
that's
we
true.
Come up with words based on our truths, you know, we don't have to worry about using words that we think that's beneficial, like the word nice, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You go back to the origin.
Go ahead, Mother. You're going into words. You're going to set me off now because that's all we're dealing with. We're dealing with a created language that we know
yes.
not much about. And when you see that Supreme Court hearing, you're seeing a language being
yes.
translated and discussed and interpreted. And okay, that's what you're seeing. You're seeing a language that you don't know, that you think you know, but you don't know. So we all, that's always a great thing that we learn our own language. Okay, so when they listen to us, well, what are you talking about? I don't know. You got to go to Thor school. I mean, come
that's
on.
Right.
It's Thornomics, okay? So you got to get into it. So, yeah, language is important, but you mentioned, you know, you went into etymology and words. So give us a couple of commonly used words, Yama, that we need to have a full understanding of and that we think is one thing but really is not.
Well, the word nice, when you start at the top, it seems like it's, you know, a beneficial thing or something that you would want to embrace. But when you go down to the brackets at the bottom, you see that it means that you're stupid and simple and ignorant. Yes, so.
Now, you know they're going to think you're lying, Emma. I've been using
nice
all my life. I used it, too.
I understand. But we were also thinking that the debt collectors were creditors.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Stop in one area, then stop in the next, you know, change in the next area. It's all about change. And when you change, you increase yourself. When you change your wrong information for truth, then you can move to a higher degree. If not, you stay down in ABC. You never move up. And see, it's not
right.
It's not going against the establishment, but it's establishing what is right for you because we're finding out what the establishment has put in order. It doesn't work towards our benefit. So we're not doing anything wrong. We're just coming to Thor light and receiving it and moving on up. We're coming to Thor light.
That
right.
was Thor tickling,
because the other
I'm
light,
telling you.
And the other light that we were in, see, Sharif, was we thought it was light, but it was darkness.
That's right.
Yeah, so now we're coming to the true light, and it's Thor light. So we could always move up when we were in truth. Always. When you're in darkness and you think it's light, then you can't see it, and you think you're seeing, but you're not moving anywhere. You're always stumbling into things that you can't see but you think you're seeing. So it's all about Thorbration, celebrating and vibrating and increasing. It's all about that.
Thorbrating. Here you go. Straight from the Yama, original Thor language being developed here at Thor Ministry. Yes, we have our language here. We know how to identify our family, and y'all better write those down because they'll be used.
And see, those are the same
we're
mind.
We're going to codify them, too. We're going to codify them.
Yes. Those who are the same language will understand one another. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you go into the court system. They're talking out of, you know, above your head. You know, the words that they're using that you thought it had one meaning, and it has a different meaning when you go there.
That's right.
Like-minded people will be on the same level, and they will understand one another. They won't get lost in the words.
Mm-hmm. And it's a tendency that we have, because I have to share with you, and I'll give you all some inner politics. I talk with my staff a lot, and we do a lot of conference calls. We do a lot of, you know, teaching, and, you know, and we're used to things being so complex. When you come into lightness, into the light out of darkness, you have to be careful not to think everything is dark. So we were talking, and Lori was asking some questions about, well, what about the trustee, and what about, and I said, Lori, too complex. Don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do the puzzle. Focus mm-hmm. on really what is. Sometimes you get bored, you stay on a particular subject matter, and you start to, you know, you hear some of them. Some people have good information and good knowledge of it, but you notice that they're not as powerful because they've become so complex. Like they're trying to do mental masturbation in a way, or intellectual
mm-hmm.
masturbation, trying to ask themselves good people. You know, I heard one of my speakers that I like, you know, I don't know if it was either T.D. Jakes or one of them, and he said, sometimes you become so spiritually minded to where you're earthly no good.
Mm-hmm.
I always remember that. He said about 10 years ago. And
mm-hmm.
in the art of teaching, which is basically an art, and effective teaching is a gift, I always try to make sure I keep things on a lower vibration so people can get it and, you know, just receive it the way it is, and I'll add a lot of seasoning to it, and you know, you'll be able to master it better. So,
yes.
Yeah, the art of words is very significant, Mother. You definitely hit that on the head.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So
great
I
comment.
Yes.
Yama, go ahead.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the program that I heard was beneficial. The different cases and how they're being caught. The predators or the creditors or the debt collectors are being caught in their own snare that they laid for the consumer. They're being caught in the snares that they set for the consumer when they go to court.
Right.
Yes, and so that's
right.
That's so beneficial. That's showing how the Creator works on your behalf, even when you're not totally familiar with their language. And the words that they use, they wind up staring their own self in their own trap.
That's right. You are absolutely right, Yaman. And you and Rudy been around a long time. I was telling Rudy earlier, I remember when credit was a little black and white notebook that the corner store had when your mother sent you down there and be like, go down there and tell Mr. James to give you a half a gallon of milk, and if it was your aunt, a pack of Newport 100, and get me
mm-hmm.
a pack of beer, and you can be 10 and go down there and pick it up and come back. And we didn't smoke the cigarettes, we didn't drink the alcohol, we wasn't drunks. And you know, I remember those days where credit was just written in the book. Once your mother got paid, or you know, you go down there and be like, what's my bill? Okay, let me pay up my bill. And the corner
mm-hmm.
store would extend you more credit, okay? Be like, okay. You know, so I remember those days where it wasn't as complex and the language was very plain back then, because it was a private contract between two people that wanted it to be just really simple. And
yes,
I think
and they,
the current administration, you're president of the U.S. Corporation, I believe he either passed or was talking about passing a law to reduce the confusion or even the small print of a lot of these consumer contracts, and they wanted to make it a more simple contract that was more understood. I don't know if he's going to be successful with that, because the confusion of these contracts is what makes billions and trillions of dollars. But nonetheless, he made the introduction, and I'll have to give him credit for the idea, and we'll look for the fruition in the future.
Yes, yes, yes. It's all about trust. When you mentioned about the little corner store and you went down there for your mom or your aunt, they knew that it was someone they can trust, and it would happen, and you would pay them, and they would make their money, and it happened again, and it was just a trust, because people were truthful with one another then. Now it's all it's all have gone away, and we have to get back to speaking the truth to one another, so we can trust one another.
That's right. And Mother and Rudy, yes, while you're on the phone, I mean, let's go ahead and yield to some knowledge and wisdom and tenure on this earth. I remember back in those days growing up, and I had family that was only law enforcement. I do. I don't remember ever hearing the word court or debt collector. I mean, yeah, debt collectors, it wasn't a big deal if you didn't pay them back then. But I don't remember hearing court. I don't remember any of my family going to court. I mean, I don't remember, 20 police cars and 4 to 6 million laws. You're 8 or 9 or 10. Your mother sent you to the store with a note, and you can get cigarettes and beer. Were the people better back then, and are they worse now? Or has the country gotten worse, therefore making the people worse? Or are the laws just there to have you make a mistake and pay them? What do y'all think? That's for Rudy and Yama. What do you think has changed from, let's say, 30 years ago and now? What are the biggest changes that you see?
Well, greed. The love of money, is the root of all evil, and people have conditioned themselves to think they have to have more and more and more, and with the corporations, with businesses, even with the consumers, the love of money will bring evil, and it will have people who want to supersede above others, so they can be on top, and the ones that's below to pressure them to pay and to scheme on them and to deceive them. So it has to do with greed. It has to do with greed. Corporations, they want more and more. They don't even want to pay their employees a living wage. So I have to think it has to do with the spirit of greed going forth through the land, through the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree.
Rudy,
what do you think?
I think that the generations have changed based on respect for one another. First of all, when we grew up, there were a code of ethics within the household where you didn't do certain things. So you didn't spread. If it was going on in the house and it was correct, then those things did not go outside. You didn't take advantage of people on the street and different things like that. So like you said, if you go down to the corner store and you have a bill or your parents had an obligation, you saw they honored their obligation. So therefore, if you made a bill or something, you honored your obligation. But the thing is, people got away from that, and greed is one of the factors that I see, like the mother talked about, where those people who we raised, so these would be our offspring, to make life a lot easier. So instead of working for what they wanted, putting a little money aside to achieve that, credit cards and different situations came up and everything became instantaneous. So you didn't have to work a long time to save to get something. You could just flash the card and do whatever you wanted to do. Then the concept came along, you don't really have to pay for it. Because if you flash a credit card, and there's really no obligation behind it, so to speak, the more and more you spend, you don't have the means to make the payment.
But if you think about a long time ago, when people decided they wanted a home, they would save the money, buy the land, put the foundation in, save some more money, and build a house. They didn't have mortgages. They didn't have extended credit. They didn't have things that tempted them to get out so far out that they couldn't get back based on the economics of the income coming into their household. So I would say overall it would agree to have more than you could afford to have.
Wow. That's interesting. As well, I remember from even a law standpoint, because I have a huge amount of law enforcement in my family, I have an uncle, and they were sort of the bourgeois of the family, and he was the chief of police, 37th precinct, and he used to tell me how, and he's always come and tell us stories. I mean, he says I've only pulled my gun out one time, and that was his story. Family reunions and picnics. He says I only pulled my gun out one time. Then when the police came up to you, they were respectful, and a lot of times they would come and, you know, they would just put their foot in your behind if they had to, and they wouldn't even lock you up. I mean, I'll go tell me, I'll just put my foot in his behind and just go on about their business. But you just didn't have the type of upfront confrontations that you have now when you start allowing one individual to try to oppress or rule over another. You're always going to have that problem because that's not how our country was built. You're not supposed to rule over any man. And when I bring up this reference, and the reason why I bring it up is that we didn't have 4 to 6 million laws back then. People just had character, morals, and values. And that, I believe they still have it. Okay? But I believe since you have so much greed and so much oppressiveness and people just trying to rule over other people, that this has created the environment that it's in. And about that same uncle, when he retired, he said he was walking up the street one time to take his garbage out, and he always carries his firearm, and he says some rookies that probably just graduated, probably 6 weeks old, they came up to him and drew down on him and, you know, had him put his hands up because he had his firearm. Now, my uncle was chief of police a long time, knows everybody. And He was just livid. He said, you know what, I pulled my gun out one time in 30-something years, 40 years as a police officer, almost 40 years. And he said, you got these little whippersnappers pulling out their gun if they see somebody at the garbage. But, of course, he dealt with that particular cop. He didn't make it long after the academy dealing with him. But he just said these guys are just, you can see it in their eyes, they're just ready to do something. Everything is different. So I look at all of those things, and I always wonder why, just like I wonder why a gallon of milk is $5 and why we have 4 to 6 million laws and, you know, why kids can't go to the corner store anymore and pick up a pack of cigarettes that were really in the – you had vending machines that had cigarettes. I didn't see a whole lot of smoking. I didn't smoke. I didn't think about taking one of the cigarettes out of the pack and smoke. So I just wonder why – things are like they are. People can say, well, you don't want kids smoking, but if you were raised to do the right thing, you wasn't going to do it anyway. And those that are going to do it is going to do it anyway. So let's stop acting like we're in charge of the world and we have to make sure we save everybody. You can go jump off a bridge today if you want to and nobody can stop you. And you can do a bunch of things if you want to harm yourself. So I just wanted to engage wisdom and age into how they viewed the world now as opposed to 30 years ago. And I think both of y'all make very interesting points in mother saying it's upbringing and respect. Well, we see the music now. The music is totally different. I think we have a court system that works harder to dismantle the family unit to keep chaos going on because it benefits society economically when you're taking the kids from here or when you got a husband and wife going after each other and you got the court saying don't talk to each other and you're hiring attorneys and saying don't talk to him, don't talk to her and, you know, basically talk through me and you're paying them $20,000 on each side and It's just when you look at the system as a whole, there's nothing out there other than the morals and values that you hold yourself that will have you rise above what's going on. So, Layla and Lori, did you have any comments on that?
No, I'm good. I just wanted to say thank you to the Yama. I love, just in case she didn't get to hear me the other day, I really do appreciate her. And I love that statement that she made earlier about you don't realize that you're in darkness until you've seen the light. You don't realize that you've been stumbling around. And I know just real briefly I had a conversation with someone the other day, and they were talking about a few things going on in their life. And I said, you know, if you ever have noticed all these things, you know, that keep going on, you'll just keep getting thumped in the head, man, until you say, oh, okay, I get it. But I love how she correlated all that into, you know, stumbling around. You do. You stumble around when you're in the dark, even though you think you're in the light. I love that. Thanks for sharing that. It's awesome.
Layla?
Everything. I resonate with everything that has been said just so perfectly. And, you know, we don't know anything unless we check it out ourselves. And, you know, Yama, when you talked about the word nice, you know, I immediately looked it up, and I'm on dictionary.com, and it says foolish, stupid, silly, simple, ignorant, incapable.
Mm-hmm.
So that is just really, really, truly amazing how, you know, we think we're speaking certain things and we're really not, and we're how we've been conditioned. You know, that's why I guess I'm sounding a little startled, because I'm like, how we're so conditioned to be thinking a certain way, and we think what we're doing is so right. And, you know, as we talk about this debt collection arena, and each of us that are part of this have our own cases or have had our own cases that we're working on, and just to realize how ignorant we were prior to coming to Thor. I mean, that's all I've got to say about that. You know, so knowledge is power, but knowledge is power once we take action and apply it. And that's what Thor is about. I love the beautiful new words that we've come up with for our own Thor vocabulary. Thorberation, I mean, I just love it. That is just an excellent, celebration and vibrating to move us to a whole new level. And just now that we're talking about words and being able to develop our own vocabulary, our own powerful vocabulary to empower us, because that's really what it does. I mean, we realize that these words are spellings. Spellings are spells. And we're using words like the word nice, and we're casting a spell on ourselves. I mean, that's the amazing part of this. So we use words that we create for Thor, and we empower ourselves to take ourselves, vibrate ourselves to a whole new level. So I just want to thank you very much for that, Yama. For the Thor family, just stay tuned. Tune out to all of that nonsense and that mess that's out there. Make sure you email debtshow@yahoo.com. Make sure you're on our mailing list so that you're getting all the up-to-date news so that you're in the know. With that being said, I love you all. Peace and blessings.
Indeed. I love it. We can do a whole show on vibrations of words and what words do to us. Words have, I mean, significance beyond what most people think. Even the pronunciation of your name, there is tonage, there is frequencies in names.
Mm-hmm.
And when they are pronounced wrong, you take away the full spiritual effect of that name. That's why you are taught in school how to pronunciate. And we can get into that, and we need to do a show on that, because a lot of times when we're writing and performing diction and doing certain words, we need to have the proper tonage. We need to have the proper frequency to give our words the meanings it's supposed to have. And that's some of what I tend to do. I speak with authority, because I rest on certain words I know have power and that will resonate with people. So we want everybody, want to thank the Yama and Rudy, my panel, thank everybody for being here today. And I want to say to everybody, is to, whatever mode of prayer you employ, pray for everybody. Pray for the country. Pray for your neighbors. You know, I can not say enough the type of emails that we'll receive here at Thorne's. A lot of them, an overwhelming amount of them, are very positive and depositing into the soul and spirit. But we also have a lot of displace and dysfunction out there, even amongst us. We get emails that, you know, if we shared with you, you would probably understand sometimes why we address certain things. There is a lot of confusion in the land of Babylon. And there is not a lot of lions out there. There is not a lot of light out there. And we just want to do our part to make sure we're flickering somewhat. We're illuminating. And you can at least find some truth, some restoration, some resetting ability, and some readiness to go back out and deal with life and your debt. So we just pray for everybody out there that is caught up in situations that has nothing to do with reality many times, theories and beliefs. And we just pray that everybody unite together. We're going to continue to be community, and we're going to continue to come together for the common unity of the people. We're going to continue to pray for our country as a whole, pray for everybody out there, including but not limited to our children, which we have to turn this world over to. We need to make sure that we're examples and we're educating them at this point, because as we've come into the light as adults, realizing that for many years we might have kept ourselves in the dark, or maybe there was a little bit of a consorted effort to hide things from us. But now that we've come into the light, we have to make sure that we're not spending all of our time trying to change the minds of adults, but make sure we are doing a transfusion of that knowledge into our children and our kids, and that we're giving them the opportunity that we didn't have. They're going to be the ones that change the world. We're going to be the ones that knock down a few trees to make the path clearer. So I want to say to everybody, we thank you for being here today. We want to thank our chat. Wait a minute. All right, quick. Africa the Great says he has a question about the TCPA. Why don't you go ahead and type it right quick, and I'll answer that, and then we'll close out. We got 6 minutes. If you fill out a cell phone, if you fill out an application and put your cell phone number, do that qualify you under the TCPA? If you fill out an application and put your cell phone number, if you establish a business relationship with someone and you put down a cell phone number as a means of communication and that business contacts you, then you have a business relationship with that person. If you give your cell phone number to a creditor and they sell that account to a debt collector, then they don't necessarily and generally do not have the authority a creditor has, and you didn't give them your express written permission to contact you. That is the difference. So hopefully that answered the question, and we appreciate everybody for being here. We will see y'all on Tuesday. You can email us as laylabetshow@yahoo.com. I will be maybe sending out an email today on a webinar being held on Sunday. It's going to be a smaller, more inexpensive webinar covering some topics to allow people that doesn't have extensive financial resources to get in on some specific topic-related education. And I will send that email out. Please email out. Please make sure you're on the email list. But until Tuesday, we want to thank everybody for being here. God bless.
title. Spent an hour in the bathroom, walked out looking like a model. God, doing what you do, got me right there with Apollo. On the moon, Mooney's genies in a bottle. Girl, if they already got you,
I got you.